Today is the 10th day of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and it is a pleasure. It is an honor, and I am deeply grateful to be here around the global campfire with you today. As we gather yet again for the next step forward on the grand voyage and adventure that is the Daily Audio Bible, and that is the Bible in a year together in community. Very grateful. Hope you are doing well. Really glad to be here together today and pick up where we left off, which is what we do every day. Grateful for that rhythm, that kind of unending, never-ending rhythm. We can always visit. Like, there's always tomorrow. We're always here together every day. Glad we're here now. Let's jump in. If we pick up where we left off yesterday, that will lead us back into the book of Ezra. Today, Ezra chapter 10. While Ezra prayed and made this confession, weeping and lying face down on the ground in front of the temple of God, a very large crowd of people from Israel, men, women, and children, gathered and wept bitterly with him. Then Shechaniah, son of Jehiel, a descendant of Elam, said to Ezra, "We have been unfaithful to our God, for we have married these pagan women of the land. But in spite of this, there is hope for Israel. Let us now make a covenant with our God to divorce our pagan wives and to send them away with their children. We will follow the advice given by you and by the others who respect the commands of our God. Let it be done according to the law of God. Get up, for it is your duty to tell us how to proceed in setting things straight. We are behind you, so be strong and take action." So Ezra stood up and demanded that the leaders of the priests and the Levites and all the people of Israel swear that they would do as Shechaniah had said. And they all swore a solemn oath. Then Ezra left the front of the temple of God and went to the room of Jehohanan, son of Eliashib. He spent the night there without eating or drinking anything. He was still in mourning because of the unfaithfulness of the returned exiles. Then a proclamation was made throughout Judah and Jerusalem that all the exiles should come to Jerusalem. Those who failed to come within 3 days would, if the leaders and elders so decided, forfeit all their property and be expelled from the assembly of the exiles. Within 3 days, all the people of Judah and Benjamin had gathered in Jerusalem. This took place on December 19th, and all the people were sitting in the square before the temple of God. They were trembling both because of the seriousness of the matter and because it was raining. Then Ezra the priest stood and said to them, "You have committed a terrible sin. By marrying pagan women, you have increased Israel's guilt. So now confess your sin to the Lord, the God of your ancestors, and do what he demands. Separate yourselves from the people of the land and from these pagan women." Then the whole assembly raised their voices and answered, "Yes, you are right. We must do as you say." Then they added, "This isn't something that can be done in a day or two. For many of us are involved in this extremely sinful affair, and this is the rainy season, so we cannot stay out here much longer. Let our leaders act on behalf of us all. Let everyone who has a pagan wife come at a scheduled time, accompanied by the leaders and judges of his city, so that the fierce anger of our God concerning this affair may be turned away from us." Only Jonathan, son of Asael, and Jaaziah, son of Tikva, opposed this course of action. and they were supported by Meshulam and Shabbatai, the Levite. So this was the plan they followed. Ezra selected leaders to represent their families, designating each of the representatives by name. On December 29th, the leaders sat down to investigate the matter. By March 27th, the first day of the new year, they had finished dealing with all the men who had married pagan wives. These are the priests who had married pagan wives. From the family of Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, and his brothers, Maaseiah, Eleazar, Jarib, and Gedaliah. They vowed to divorce their wives, and they each acknowledged their guilt by offering a ram as a guilt offering. From the family of Immer, Hanani, and Zebediah. From the family of Harim, Maaseiah, Elijah, Shemaiah, Jehiel, and Uzziah. From the family of Pashur, Elionai, Maaseiah, Ishmael, Netanel, Jozabad, and Elisha. These are the Levites who were guilty. Jozabad, Shimei, Kileah, also called Kalita, Petahiah, Judah, and Eleazar. This is the singer who was guilty, Eliashib. These are the gatekeepers who were guilty, Shalum, Telem, and Uri. These are the other people of Israel who were guilty. From the family of Parosh, Remiah, Isaiah, Elkijah, Midjamin, Eleazar, Hashabiah, and Benaiah. From the family of Elam, Mattaniah, Zechariah, Jehiel, Abdi, Jeremoth, and Elijah. From the family of Zatu, Elionai, Eliashib, Mattaniah, Jeremoth, Zabad, and Azizah. From the family of Bibai, Yehohanan, Hananiah, Zabai, and Adlai. From the family of Bani, Meshulam, Maluk, Adiah, Jashub, Sheol, and Jeremoth. From the family of Peat Moab, Adna, Kilal, Benaiah, Maaseiah, Mattaniah, Bezalel, Benui, and Manasseh. From the family of Harim, Eleazar, Ishijah, Melchijah, Shemaiah, Shimeon, Benjamin, Maluk, and Shemariah. From the family of Hashum, Mattaniah, Mattata, Zabad, Eliphelet, Jeremiah, Manasseh, and Shimei. From the family of Bani, Meadai, Amram, Yuel, Benaiah, Bidiah, Kaluhi, Venaiah, Meramoth, Eliashib, Mattaniah, Mattanai, and Jiasu. From the family of Benui, Shimei, Shelemiah, Nathan, Adiah, Magnadabai, Shishai, Shirai, Azarel, Shelemiah, Shemariah, Shalom, Amariah, and Joseph. From the family of Nebo, Jael, Mattatiah, Zabad, Zabina, Jedai, Joel, and Benaiah. Each of these men had a pagan wife, and some even had children by these wives. First Corinthians 6. When one of you has a dispute with another believer, how dare you file a lawsuit and ask a secular court to decide the matter instead of taking it to other believers? Don't you realize that someday we believers will judge the world? And since you are going to judge the world, can't you decide even these little things among yourselves? Don't you realize that we will judge angels? So you should surely be able to resolve ordinary disputes in this life. If you have legal disputes about such matters, why go to outside judges who are not respected by the church? I am saying this to shame you. Isn't there anyone in all the church who is wise enough to decide these issues? But instead, one believer sues another right in front of unbelievers. Even to have such lawsuits with one another is a defeat for you. Why not just accept the injustice and leave it at that? Why not let yourselves be cheated? Instead, you yourselves are the ones who do wrong and cheat even your fellow believers. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin, or who worship idols, or commit adultery, or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality, or are thieves, or greedy people, or drunkards, or are abusive, or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. You say, food was made for the stomach and the stomach for food. This is true, though someday God will do away with both of them. But you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. And God will raise us from the dead by His power, just as He raised our Lord from the dead. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which is a part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never. And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the scriptures say, the two are united into one. But the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. Psalm 31, 9-18. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am in distress. Tears blur my eyes. My body and soul are withering away. I am dying from grief. My years are shortened by sadness. Sin has drained my strength. I am wasting away from within. I am scorned by all my enemies and despised by my neighbors. Even my friends are afraid to come near me. When they see me on the street, they run the other way. I am ignored as if I were dead, as if I were a broken pot. I have heard the many rumors about me, and I am surrounded by terror. My enemies conspire against me, plotting to take my life. But I am trusting you, O Lord, saying, you are my God. My future is in your hands. Rescue me from those who hunt me down relentlessly. Let your favor shine on your servant. In your unfailing love, rescue me. Don't let me be disgraced, O Lord, for I call out to you for help. Let the wicked be disgraced. Let them lie silent in the grave. Silence their lying lips, those proud and arrogant lips that accuse the godly. Proverbs 21:3. The Lord is more pleased when we do what is right and just than when we offer Him sacrifices. Okay, so as we're continuing our journey through the letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, we see that Paul has a very, very direct tone. He's even confrontational in this letter. And it's really easy to read Paul in a lot of ways and in a lot of his letters and kind of feel condemnation in his words. That would be missing the point, though. For example, in today's reading, Paul is shaming the Corinthians for taking each other to court to resolve issues that could easily be handled within the community of faith. And he also lists a series of behaviors that he is condemning very openly and very strongly. But Paul's intention isn't condemnation for no reason, like to shame someone so that they'll just feel like they're bad. He's calling everyone up to a higher standard. He's calling everyone up into true freedom. So in Paul's worldview, as we're seeing in Paul's letters, Jesus changes the entire complexion, the entire scope of the species of humanity itself. Through Christ, a new humanity was created. And Jesus was the firstborn of that new humanity. We see that in the book of Romans that we just read. The rebellion that sin created made an irreparable breach between humanity and divinity and God. And the repercussions were then and are now easy to see anywhere you look. But God rescued humanity through Jesus and did away with everything that had separated us, which is sin. Jesus' resurrection eliminated the power of sin in the life of a believer. And so the freedom that the Corinthians and we, the freedom that humanity touts is essentially the idea that we have the ability to do whatever we want, whenever we want, with whoever we want, regardless of the consequences. And in Paul's view, that's not freedom. That's actually bondage. And so Paul articulates this really strongly and beautifully in our reading today. He says, "You say I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though you're allowed to do anything, you can't become a slave to anything." So Paul's telling the Corinthians, and through them, us, that yeah, you can do whatever you want, but just simply having the ability to make a choice to do whatever you want does not mean that you are making a good choice that has no consequence or repercussion. Finding freedom in Christ doesn't mean that you have a license to do what you know is wrong, because the repercussions of that sin are going to lead you to their consequences and ultimately will lead to death in the end. So, I mean, most of the time we know when we're veering off the path. But how do we know? According to Paul, we have to be aware of what is enslaving us, what we are willing to give authority in our lives to. What we're becoming a slave to, in other words. Because, right, slavery is not freedom. But we can still use our, quote, freedom to enslave ourselves and enslave others. So may we consider today what has enslaved us, and then in light of what Paul is saying, realize that we've been set free from that bondage. Freedom is ours. We have to walk in it. It's a choice. It's ours to make. And we will make that choice one way or the other. May we choose freedom. So, Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for that word, again, about our freedom. Because it is true that we consider freedom often to be the ability to make whatever choice that we want to make. When, even though that is possible, that is not freedom. That really can lead us into complete and total destruction of the known world that we live in. Like, we can destroy everything about ourselves and everyone around us by exploiting our freedom of to choose whatever we want. Freedom really comes when there really isn't anything left to hide in the dark. And so that is a narrow path, indeed. It leads to life, but it is a narrow path. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and illuminate that path and lead us into all truth. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base. They are the website and the app. They are where you find out what is going on around here. And so make sure that you have the app on your phone. Just go to the app store that works with your device and search for Daily Audio Bible and download the latest. And then check it out. Spend 5 minutes getting to know it, and you'll be, there's so much there. But you'll know your way around. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are resources there for the journey. Yeah, like the Promised Land book. It's a coffee table edition, a beautifully crafted book of photographs from the land of the Bible, the places that we are spending so much of our time in as we go through the Bible. Check that out. It is, there is some really, really beautiful scenery there to immerse yourself in and have on your coffee table. There is the Breathing Prayer book, the first children's book that we have released, Jill and I and Ezekiel, our son. It's called The Breathing Prayer, a little prayer for big feelings. It is for kids, but it's not only for kids. It reminds us to breathe, especially when there's anxiety. And there is anxiety everywhere. We don't have to look very far to find it. It reminds us to breathe, become present to the present moment. And become aware that we are not alone in what we are facing. And so the Breathing Prayer is a beautiful reminder of that. Check it out. There is The God of Your Story, a 365-day walk through the Bible after the same fashion that we do here every day. And it talks about a lot of the things that we talk about here every day. And so it is a fantastic companion to what we do here in community every day. So check that out. And then there are other resources like Reframe, from the God we've made to God with us. A deep exploration of what it means when we actually say we're in a relationship with God. What does that even mean? What does it look like? How is it shaped? How does it work? Check out Reframe or Sneezing Jesus, a beautiful portrait of the Savior and his human life, and how the human God changes our humanity altogether. Check these out in the Daily Audio Bible Shop. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. There is a link on the homepage. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, where the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi everyone, it's Lisa the Encourager. I'm so excited to let you know that I am done with my surgery for my breast cancer and I'm healing and recovering. And I just wanted this to be a call of praises. I first wanted to share with you, when I first got to the hospital, I was registering at the front desk and the lady was wishing me the best. And I said, yes, I have faith. And I know, you know, God's going to take care of this. And she reached out to my hand and she said, can I pray for you? And I said, 100%. And she prayed for me right there at the registration desk, held my hand and prayed. And it was such a wonderful thing right before surgery. And then right when I was in triage prior to surgery, when my doctor came in and she did her exam, she said, Lisa, I think your tumor shrunk. And I was like, what? And she said, yes, I think your tumor shrunk. And I said, oh my gosh, I've had so many people praying for me. That is such wonderful news. So that was another praise. And then after my surgery, I had such wonderful care in the hospital, such fabulous nurses taking good care of me. And one of them, the very first one, had so much compassion and kindness and gentleness with me. And I knew she had, she wasn't from here. She had said she'd lived here 10 years. And I said, well, you know, I used to sponsor a girl from Kenya a long time ago with World Vision. And she looked up at me and she goes, Lisa, I'm from Kenya. And I was like, oh my goodness, what are the... So then I knew, and then we talked, and then she was a Christian and everything. So it was just a beautiful moment. And I also just wanted to thank every one of you for your prayers, because it's so... Every little spot, every little time, every little sequence of events, just it showed everyone was praying for me. And I love you all. Thank you for that.
Hello, this is Staying Close in Ohio. I'm responding to the prayer request submitted by Candace for her grandson, Eli. Lord God, I ask that you would see all of our children and grandchildren that are suffering from mental illness. But in particular, I'm praying for Eli and ask that you would apply this to all of our children, Lord. God, see Eli. Father, turn your eyes towards him, Father. Line up everything in his brain the way that you intended it to be. Father, give strength to change lifestyle. Make him want to change the way he's living, Lord, if that is a factor in any of our children or grandchildren's lives. Father, turn their hearts, Lord, turn them toward you. Lord, give them a want to be with you. And Lord, I pray for her trip to Rwanda, that, Father, you would open doors. And through that ministry, Lord, that you would snatch the hearts of the children that they're going to minister to. That you would grab their hearts by your Holy Spirit, Lord, and that you would show them in an undeniable way who you are and how much you love them. In Jesus' name I pray, because of his work on the cross. Amen.
ADAB, it is Refined by the Fire in Ohio. And I just wanted to call in for a quick minute to touch base. I know there are so many prayer requests and praises that have been coming in, so it's super exciting. And a couple things just have been on my heart and on my mind. And if you are someone who has found yourself in the depths of sin, up past your eyeballs, over your head, and you know how you got there, but don't know how you got there, there's so many different scenarios this would apply to, but if that is how you're feeling, please don't listen to the voices in your head. Please lean into Jesus and the mercies and grace he has new for you every day. And be honest with one person. Start with one person. Give yourself grace. Satan is good at what he does. And we are these fleshly creatures who easily listen to those voices and to ourselves. And so the first step is just admitting where you're at and one day at a time leaning on Jesus to make a better choice. But being honest with one person at a time will help shine light into your darkness so that you're not alone. God's not surprised by where you are. He loves you. He created you. He has made a way out for you through his son. Love you all.
Hello, everyone. I send my love to you all. I'm Annie, calling from Pennsylvania about a dear friend of mine, Dale, who's now living in Arizona. He came home from Vietnam in the 70s with the worst PTSD I've ever seen. And he's just the prince of a guy who has been the stabilizing force of his family in spite of his own difficulties. Recently, his dear girlfriend had a debilitating stroke, which is breaking his heart. He now has been struggling with severe anxiety. And my prayer is that God would just touch him and deliver him from his torture and bring the perfect people he needs to help him. He's rather shy, but I've been trying to encourage him to find a great church and get people to come around him, support him. And so I just thank you all for your prayers. And I so appreciate you guys. I listen almost every single morning and just love everything about the Daily Audio Bible. So what a blessing. All right. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. God bless.
Hi, it's Heather in Tennessee. I'm calling to thank God's Life Speaker and Mark, the baby doctor, for calling in and giving me some really great verses. Psalm 100 and I believe Psalm 25. And I'm so thankful that that you're praying for my situation with my mom, and I really appreciate that. When I was listening to it, of course I'm a little behind in the community prayers, and when I was listening to it, I was going through a difficult situation with my daughter, and boy, that prayer, your voices helped me so much. It's still rough. It's just never ending. It's just so hard to know how to pray for my adult daughter, and I know it's just all in God's hands, and I just have to get through this somehow. But I just want to thank you so much, and Sparky, I'm lifting you up in prayer. Thank you for your request for your coworker. I'm lifting him up in prayer, and Junk to Treasure. Ooh, you're going through some hard things, and I am always praying for you. gotta stay strong in God, and I don't know how to do it most days. Because I don't understand. I just don't understand the level of pain that my family is dealing with. It's hard. Bye.
This is Chad from New Hampshire. I just listened to Cowboy talking about his hole in his heart and his pride. And brother, it's amazing how God brings his body together so that we can be in alignment. I too suffer from pride, and also my left ankle has been significantly hurting me. Went and got an MRI, and they told me that one of the bones is collapsing in my ankle. So similar boats as you, Cowboy. And got an MRI, as mentioned, and I've been prayed over twice since then, and I do believe in the name of Jesus that he is healing my ankle. So I just wanted to come together in alignment with you in the name of Jesus and pray over that hole in your heart. Father, we lift up Cowboy right now, Lord. Touch his heart, Lord. You are the master healer. You are amazing. Father, we just pray for Cowboy that that heart is miraculously healed so that that can be a testimony of your greatness and your awesomeness, Father. This pride thing, we men deal with it every day, Lord. We humble ourselves before your greatness. We lay at the feet of your Son. Protect us, keep us. We love you. We worship you. Cowboy, you have a great day.